Use 4 or 5 drops of essential oil per 100 to 150 milliliters of water. The amount depends on your diffuser's water capacity. For inhaled oils, you need only a small amount to create a big impact. That's it. The benefits last after the diffusion has ended. There is no need to run the diffuser continuously unless you prefer it. Safety tips. Always use diffusers in a well-ventilated room, especially if you have children or pets. When you're starting out or when you're using a new blend, diffuse oils for just a few minutes to give your body a taste of what's in there. If you don't have any adverse reactions, headaches, sinus issues, etc., then gradually work your way up to running your diffuser for a few hours at a time. To use an inhaler, simply place a pre-cut organic cotton pad inside your inhaler tube and add drops of your desired essential oils directly to the cotton pad. Look for cotton pads that are specifically designed for use in aromatherapy inhalers. You can find these on Amazon.com. Once created, your inhaler can last up to 1 year, depending on how often you open it and use it. The more you open the lid, the more oxygen the essential oils are exposed to, and the more quickly they will oxidize and evaporate. Topical application. Applying essential oils onto your skin, most often diluted in a carrier oil, is the second most common way to access their healing powers. As I've explained, dilution is not only wise, it is also necessary to ensure safety and efficacy. Depending on what you're trying to accomplish, it is generally advised that you dilute as follows. 0.5% to 1% for children, the face, and sensitive skin like genitals and underarms. 2%, standard adult dilution for most DIY applications. 3 to 5% for chronic conditions like aches and pains. 5 to 10% for acute conditions like burns and cuts, and for specifically treating a disease for up to 1 week at a time. 10% plus, to be used with great care and only for a very short period of time. 25% plus, to be used only under the supervision of a trained healthcare provider. Here's a quick guide to knowing how many drops of essential oil to add. Infants and children. Dilution percent, 0.5%. Drops per ounce, 3. Drops per tablespoon, 1.5. Infants and children, 1% dilution. Drops per ounce, 6. Drops per tablespoon, 3. Adults. 2% dilution. 12 drops per ounce. 6 drops per tablespoon. 3% dilution, adults. 18 drops per ounce. 9 drops per tablespoon. 5% adult dilution. 30 drops per ounce. 15 drops per tablespoon. And 10% adult solution. 60 drops per ounce. 30 drops per tablespoon. Note, there are 2 tablespoons in 1 ounce. Mix the essential oil with the carrier, then apply as indicated by the recipe or remedy for that particular ailment. You've now successfully diluted your essential oil and enjoyed the added benefit of a nourishing carrier oil. Where to apply your diluted essential oils? You may have heard that applying essential oils to the bottom of your feet is the most effective way to get the healing compounds into your bloodstream. This is not actually true. Research has determined that this is the order of areas of the body where the skin is most permeable from highest to lowest. 1. Genital region. 2. Head and neck region. 3. Trunk, chest, stomach, back. 4. Arms, including the hands and fingers. 5. Legs, including the bottom of the feet. This doesn't mean you should apply essential oils to your genitals. In fact, the researchers who published this paper recommended transdermal formulations should be applied to the trunk or the arm, as there is usually less potential for sensitization, and the lower density of hair follicles leads to better tack and ease of removal. It also means that applying essential oils to the soles of your feet is, contrary to popular belief, the least effective, not to mention slipperiest, way to get essential oils into your bloodstream via the skin. Safety tip. Before putting a new oil or blend on your skin, do a skin patch test by applying a 1% dilution on the back of your hand or the bottom of your foot. This is the same concept as testing a carpet cleaner on an inconspicuous spot first before potentially staining a large area. Let the mixture settle for a few minutes and observe. If you experience no adverse reactions, bumps, burns, rashes, etc., within 10 minutes, this is a good sign that you can gradually scale up to more concentrated dilutions. The perils of photosensitization. Some essential oils can increase the photosensitivity of your skin. For example, chemicals in the citrus family, such as bergamotin, are notable for their phototoxic effects. When bergamotin is left on the skin and then exposed to the sun, it can amplify the effect of UV rays, potentially causing sunburn and leading to sunspots. Some people just decide not to use any bergamotin-heavy oils topically, but simply avoiding the sun after use, for example, by applying them at night, is sufficient. Alternatively, use steam-distilled citrus oils, which have lower concentrations of bergamotin and mitigate this effect. Photosensitizers. Essential oil, angelica root. Latin name, Angelica archangelica. Essential oil, bergamot. Latin name, Citrus bergamia. Essential oil, bitter orange, expressed. Latin name, Citrus aurantium. Essential oil, cumin. Latin name, Cuminum simonum. Essential oil, grapefruit. Latin name, Citrus paradisi. Essential oil, lemon expressed. Latin name, Citrus limon. Essential oil, lime expressed. Latin name, Citrus medica. Essential oil, rue. Latin name, Ruta graveolens. Non-phototoxic citrus oils. Essential oil, bergamot. Bergamotinless, FCF, furanocoumarin free. Latin name, Citrus bergamia. Essential oil, lemon, distilled. Latin name, Citrus limon. Essential oil, lime, distilled. Latin name, Citrus medica. Essential oil, mandarin. Latin name, Citrus reticulata. Essential oil, sweet or wild orange. Latin name, Citrus sinensis. Essential oil, tangelo. Latin name, Citrus tangelo. Essential oil, tangerine, expressed. Latin name, Citrus reticulata. Essential oil, yuzu oil. Latin name, Citrus uno. Great care should be taken when using citrus oils during summer months and with your children in general, but you don't have to avoid them altogether. Many aromatherapists agree that heavily diluting citrus oils minimizes the risk. Considerations for consuming essential oils. Some oils are safe for ingestion. A common preparation is to add a few drops to a beverage such as water and then drink it, though that's not the best idea unless you use a solubizer, like alcohol or, my favorite, liquid stevia extract. The key is to mix the essential oils and liquid stevia or another emulsifier first, then add water, juice, tea, or whatever liquid you desire. Remember that oil and water do not mix, so simply adding a drop to water will leave that drop undiluted. Some oils are irritants, and all are very strong, so it's best to be safe and dilute the oil with an edible carrier like coconut oil first. Some aromatherapists claim that oils should never be ingested, and most will suggest that people do so only under the care of trained professionals. However, it is important to realize that people consume essential oils every day without even knowing it. Where do you think your processed foods get their flavor? Virtually anything that is naturally flavored most likely contains essential oils. Moreover, there are no scientific, evidence-based, anatomical, physiological, or logical reasons to say that essential oils are unsafe for human consumption. Rest assured that large professional organizations like the National Association for Holistic Aromatherapy, NAHA, support safe internal use. According to NAHA, essential oils may be applied on the skin, dermal application, inhaled, diffused, or taken internally. Each of these methods has safety issues which need to be considered. Additionally, the universally acclaimed text, Essential Oil Safety, A Guide for Healthcare Professionals, repeatedly refers to maximum oral dose in relation to consuming essential oils safely and effectively. As with many things, a little goes a long way with essential oils, which is why I propose these tried and true tips on taking them internally. 1. Always dilute in an edible carrier oil, whether taking as a culinary preparation or in a capsule. 2. Don't overdo it. Limit use to 2 or 3 drops at a time, and be sure to wait at least 4 hours before taking consecutive doses. 3. Listen to your body, and 4. Discontinue use immediately if adverse reactions occur. Safety tip. Taking essential oils internally can possibly put you at risk of drug interactions if you are also taking prescription medication. Unfortunately, what studies do exist that examine potential drug reactions look at individual chemical constituents. There are virtually no studies that evaluate how human patients respond to taking drugs and essential oils together. Yet, as we've already seen, it's not sound science to make definitive claims based on one chemical, because an essential oil can contain dozens, if not hundreds, of chemicals. That said, it's better to be safe than sorry, especially if you are new to essential oils. So it would be wise to consult with your healthcare provider before ingesting essential oils if you're taking pharmaceutical or over-the-counter drugs. Spice up your cooking with essential oils. Combining nutritious foods with flavorful spices and herbs is a time-honored tradition. The flowers and herbs that grace our gardens are also delicious sources of wellness. Extending this celebration to cooking with essential oils widens our appreciation for their amazing diversity and abundance, and all of the goodness available at our fingertips. My family and I enjoy using essential oils in our food for a number of reasons. 1. They make eating more enjoyable. Essential oils create an invigorating eating experience with their powerful, uplifting aromas. 2. They restore flavor. Because modern farming practices have depleted nutrient levels in soil, and because so much produce now travels thousands of miles between the time it's picked and when you buy it at the store, many fresh foods don't taste the way they used to. Those of you who are old enough to remember what fruits and veggies once tasted like understand the difference. Cooking with essential oils brings back that flavor burst. 3. They're more economical. What's cheaper? Purchasing a $3 organic lemon to zest for your meringue, or using a couple drops of lemon oil. 1 drop of essential oil is the flavor equivalent of about 1 teaspoon of your average dried herb. Essential oils also have a shelf life that is 2 to 3 times longer than dried herbs. 4. They're easier than herbs. It's much less time-consuming to simply open a bottle and pour in 1 or 2 drops of an essential oil than to wash and chop fresh herbs. And there's no knife or cutting board to wash either. 5. They enhance food safety. In addition to flavor, essential oils are regularly tested by researchers for their potential to improve food safety. Antimicrobial oils, the theory goes, might be able to minimize foodborne illness if manufacturers added them to packaging. Cooking with essential oils is nothing new. The important thing is to do so safely, appreciating the differences between a whole herb or spice and its essential oil. Not every essential oil is a good choice for cooking. Sometimes the oil doesn't taste quite as yummy as the whole herb. Sometimes the oil has too much of a certain component, making it less than ideal or even unsafe to ingest in excessive quantities. Fennel is a good example, as when a woman ate an undisclosed amount of fennel cakes containing essential oil and wound up having seizures. The key here is to enjoy essential oils in culinary dosages, which is generally 1 to 3 drops per dish. When we read about cases of undisclosed amounts of anything, they're usually extreme amounts that are well beyond the scope of culinary preparations. Knowing all about the oil you'd like to use, its safety, profile, and precautions is important. With proper use, cooking with essential oils can be both safe and fun. Cooking safely with essential oils. Reduce. Remember that the essential oil is a concentrated form of its original source. Just like you use far less cinnamon powder than cinnamon sticks, the essential oil should be used in much smaller quantities than the whole substance. A good rule of thumb is that a drop will replace a teaspoon of the original form, and you don't need more than one or two drops for a full recipe. Dilute. Another thing to keep in mind when cooking with essential oils is that they should still be diluted in a lipid first. This not only keeps you safe, but also helps to ensure that the oil and flavor gets dispersed throughout the whole dish. For savory recipes, dilute in a bit of olive or coconut oil. Stir, then add to the recipe. For sweet recipes, honey or a syrup works well. Delay. Finally, for hot foods, wait until the end of cooking before adding the essential oil. They are called volatile oils for a reason. They are relatively fragile and will dissipate quickly in high heat, meaning if you add the oils too soon, they may evaporate altogether. For stovetop recipes, stir your diluted essential oil into the finished dish after cooking. For baking, you'll simply expect to lose a bit of the flavor and beneficial properties in the process. Dilution throughout the recipe will help, and you'll still be able to enjoy the flavors no matter what. Use just a drop or two in recipes sweet or savory, cooked or raw. Fewer drops per recipe help to promote good safety for a wide range of oils. The magic of oil pulling with essential oils. Let me share with you an ancient Ayurvedic technique for health that Indians have used for thousands of years to treat dozens of conditions and diseases, ranging from headaches and tooth decay to diabetes and asthma. It's called oil pulling, and it has experienced a resurgence in popularity in the past few years, probably because coconut oil, which is the typical oil of choice, is now being hailed as an all-around health promoter, and more people have embraced DIY health practices, as evidenced by the 165,000 people who signed up for my Essential Oils Revolution telesummits. Oil pulling works by detoxifying your mouth in much the same way that soap cleans dirty dishes. Because most toxins are fat-soluble, it literally sucks contaminants, such as bacteria and small bits of food, out of your mouth and creates an antiseptic oral environment that contributes to the proper flow of saliva, which is needed to prevent cavities and disease. Oil pulling with essential oils makes one application. One drop of clove, lemon, or orange essential oil. 1 tablespoon organic unrefined coconut oil melted, olive oil, or untoasted sesame oil. 1. Add the drop of essential oil to the coconut or other oil, then pour the oil into your mouth. 2. Start lightly swishing the oil around in your mouth. Do not swallow. 3. Keep going for 20 minutes. I know that may sound like a long time, but you won't even notice 20 minutes have gone by if you do this during your normal morning routine, i.e., while you shower, put on your clothes, and prep for the day. 4. Be sure not to spit out the mixture into your sink, or the coconut oil may end up clogging your pipes. Olive oil, which gets washed down people's kitchen sinks every day, goes down fine if you run a little warm water behind it. Coconut oil, on the other hand, solidifies at room temperature. Either spit it out in the trash or into a jar or some other container you can dispose of later. 5. Immediately afterward, rinse your mouth out with warm water. Don't be shocked if the oil saliva mixture you spit out is milky white or yellow. 6. Finally, brush your teeth as normal. Note: this should be a relatively relaxing process, so don't think that you need to swish the oil around your mouth for the entire time. You'd wear out your jaw muscles. Simply move the oil in your mouth and through your teeth without swallowing any of it. I recommend oil pulling no more than 3 or 4 times per week. Also, if you're battling an infection, you may want to use 1 drop of the immunity-boosting blend I spoke about earlier. 3. Stocking your medicine cabinet. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." Matthew 9, verses 10 and 11. This quote shows us that in its infancy, the medical profession was designed to serve the sick, not the healthy. The responsibility to stay healthy resided with each person. Doctors were only consulted on how to restore health. Somehow, somewhere down the line, this fundamental truth shifted. Today, the medical community is seen as the primary means for not only treating disease, but preventing it. Medicine is not prevention. I have a problem with this premise for a number of reasons. At the top of the list is the fact that medical doctors aren't trained in prevention. What they are highly skilled in is diagnosing and treating disease through pharmaceutical and surgical procedures. Consider, for instance, that doctors aren't properly educated in nutrition, the foundation of health for every living being on this planet. How can someone properly help you prevent a disease if they aren't equipped with the tools necessary to help your body ward off illness and heal itself? A 2015 survey assessed the state of nutrition education at American medical schools and compared it with recommended instructional targets. Polling each of the 133 U.S. medical schools that have a four-year curriculum about the extent and type of nutrition education students are required to complete, the survey found that 71% of the schools failed to provide the recommended minimum 25 hours of nutrition education, and nutrition practice accounts for an average of only 4.7 hours. Moreover, what's really scary is that these numbers are trending in the wrong direction. Both the average hours of required nutrition education and the number of schools that require a nutrition course had decreased since 2000. The researchers concluded that U.S. medical schools still fail to prepare future physicians for everyday nutrition challenges in clinical practice. It cannot be a realistic expectation for physicians to effectively address obesity, diabetes, metabolic syndrome, hospital malnutrition, and many other conditions as long as they are not taught during medical school and residency training how to recognize and treat the nutritional root causes. That's why conventional medicine will always fail to truly help you ward off disease. Unless, of course, your healthcare provider has received advanced training in core concepts such as nutrition, exercise, and natural therapies like essential oils. And you know what? This is all fine. That's not what medical doctors are there for. They are there, thank God, to help us through emergency situations and those times when natural therapies and self-help are insufficient. The key is to keep things in proper perspective. If you want to stay well and address the root cause of disease, you've got to keep your medicine cabinet stocked with natural solutions, because you're not likely to get much help from your medical provider on these two fronts. Here are the top essential oils to keep in your medicine cabinet to help you stay healthy. Top 8 essential oils to get you started. There are nearly as many essential oils as there are plants. How then do you decide which ones to buy, especially when you're starting out? To help you avoid overbuying or stressing out in the essential oil aisle, I have listed 8 of the most commonly used essential oils with the widest range of applications. Not only are these easy to find, they are also very cost-effective. Most companies offer starter kits that include all or many of these, so enjoying their therapeutic benefits should be a cinch. Are there other essential oils that deserve a place of honor in your medicine cabinet? Absolutely. I'll cover more of them in Chapter 6. But these are where you want to start. With these on hand, you will be able to make more powerful blends than you will likely ever need. 1. Lavender. Lavandula angustifolia. For over 2,500 years, the medicinal and religious uses of lavender have been documented, from ancient texts through modern times. The earliest records show it was used as part of the mummification process in Egypt. Then lavender became a staple in Roman bathhouses, fragrance, and cooking. That lavender has stood the test of time, inspiring interest in so many eras, cultures, and generations, is a testament to its wide array of capabilities. Well known for its soothing and calming properties, lavender is wonderful for accelerating the healing time for burns, cuts, stings, and other wounds. It is jam-packed with antioxidant power and has been shown to help with sleep, anxiety, and depression. I put it first on the list because if you buy only one essential oil, lavender is the one to choose. Here are the top five healing benefits of lavender. 1. Potent antioxidant capabilities. Antioxidants are just the super healers that our culture needs. The free radicals created by toxins, pollutants, chemicals, and even stress are the culprits behind a cascade of cellular damage, immune inhibition, and limitless health risks, including chronic illness and cancer. In 2012, Chinese researchers observed that lavender essential oil would upregulate all three major antioxidant enzyme levels in mice within the first day of treatment. In Romania, researchers noted similar activity using inhaled lavender for an hour each day among rats. 2. Metabolism management. In 2014, in a 15-day study of diabetic rats, a lavender essential oil treatment protected against all of the following hallmarks of diabetic illness: high levels of blood glucose, metabolic illness, weight gain, depletion of antioxidants, and liver and kidney dysfunction. 3. Neurological health protection. Lavender essential oil has long been used to beat stress, depression, and anxiety, which all fall under the umbrella of neurological conditions. Lavender's neuroprotective abilities have been confirmed time and time again, most notably in a full literature review in the International Journal of Psychiatry and Clinical Practice in 2013. A lavender oil preparation in gelatin capsules was shown to consistently relieve symptoms such as sleep disturbance, anxiety, and low quality of life. What's more, no one reported side effects, interactions, or withdrawal symptoms. If you've ever taken pharmaceuticals for these conditions, you know how incredible that statement is. 4. Antimicrobial agent. Nearly 100 published studies have documented lavender's role as an antimicrobial protectant against infections. Scientists from the University of the Witwatersrand, South Africa, tested 45 blends for antimicrobial protection and discovered that synergistic blends produced the greatest result. Lavender, cinnamon leaf, and lavender orange blends were the most powerful. 5. Skin soother. Particularly when mixed with a soothing carrier oil like aloe or coconut, at a ratio of 12 drops per 1 ounce of carrier oil, lavender essential oil is highly effective in treating sunburns, dry skin, minor scrapes and cuts, and canker sores. Even some immediate hypersensitivity allergic reactions may be mitigated with lavender. Tisserand and Young's Lavender Safety Summary. Hazards? None known. Contraindications? None known. Note, Robert Tisserand and Rodney Young's book, Essential Oil Safety, A Guide for Healthcare Professionals, is the go-to resource for safety recommendations, contraindications, and dosing within the aromatherapy community. It's a vital resource for any serious aromatherapy student, and I include their safety summaries to help ensure you're aware of any potential risks associated with the oils discussed in this chapter. Dr. Z's safety note: lavender is considered one of the safest essential oils to use on the entire family. As with all oils, stick to recommended dilutions. Keep clear of the eyes and the inside of the nose, and always listen to your body. You may see reports on the internet about how boys should avoid lavender because it can cause prepubertal gynecomastia when boys experience enlarged tender breast buds for a short period of time, 1 to 5 months. The only reason you're seeing this is because of a poorly researched 2007 New England Journal of Medicine article titled Prepubertal Gynecomastia Linked to Lavender and Tea Tree Oils. It was determined that all three boys who developed breasts were using either a shampoo, lotion, soap, or balm that included lavender oil and tea tree oil as ingredients. The researchers extrapolated that these essential oils were estrogenic, based on a preliminary in vitro evaluation. There are several epidemiological reasons why this conclusion is false, and it is beyond the scope of this audiobook to cover each one, but I'll leave you with this thought. Just because lavender and tea tree oils were two common ingredients in the products that these three boys used does not prove that they were the cause. This is an example of the classic statistics blunder that confuses correlation and causation. There were countless other variables that weren't considered, including the boys' diets, environmental triggers, and prescription medications. Essential oils safety expert Robert Tisserand emphatically states, "Lavender oil does not mimic estrogen, nor does it enhance the body's own estrogens. It is therefore not a hormone disruptor, cannot cause breast growth in young boys or girls of any age, and is safe to use by anyone at risk for estrogen-dependent cancer. This means that lavender isn't estrogenic and won't cause or complicate breast cancer." Tisserand's conclusion has been supported by more recent research. The same is true for tea tree. 2. Peppermint, Mentha piperita. Aside from lavender, peppermint may be the most versatile of all essential oils. It has the ability to treat a variety of illnesses, including stress, migraines, skin conditions, and digestive wellness, combat side effects associated with common cancer treatments, affect the body via respiratory, digestive, or topical applications, remain affordable thanks to easy propagation, stand up to thorough research, act as a soothing digestive aid, helping to prevent nausea, vomiting, and any other harsh gastrointestinal contractions during times of illness, provide a potential solution to antibiotic-resistant infections. Here are my favorite uses for peppermint essential oil. 1. Stop fevers. Mama Z and I have found that nothing works to cool a fever like a blend of peppermint and orange oils. Pre-blend a 1-to-1 ratio of these two oils and mix with a carrier to 2% to 3%. Then apply on the back along the spine from the base of the neck to the sacrum. 2. Ease muscle tension. Peppermint essential oil is one of the best natural muscle relaxers and pain relievers. Try using a 2 to 3% dilution on an aching back, toothache, or tension headache. 3. Clear sinuses. Diffusing a few drops of peppermint essential oil usually clears stubborn sinuses and soothes sore throats immediately. Use as an expectorant. The results can be long-lasting and beneficial when you're plagued with a cold, a cough, or bronchitis, asthma, or sinusitis. 4. Relieve joint pain. Peppermint oil and lavender oil work well together as a cooling, soothing, anti-inflammatory for painful joints. 5. Cut cravings. Slow an out-of-control appetite by diffusing peppermint before meals, helping you feel full faster. Alternatively, rub a peppermint massage oil on your chest or back of neck between meals to keep hunger at bay. 6. Energize naturally. On a road trip or during a late-night study session or anytime you get that low-energy slump, inhaling peppermint oil is refreshing, non-toxic pick-me-up to help you wake up and keep going. 7. Freshen shampoo. A few drops included in your shampoo and conditioner will tingle your scalp and wake your senses. As a bonus, peppermint's antiseptic properties can also help prevent or remove both lice and dandruff. 8. Ease allergies. Peppermint can help relieve symptoms during allergy season by relaxing the nasal passages and acting as an expectorant. Apply a 2 to 3% solution topically on the back of your neck or chest. 9. Relieve ADHD. A spritz of peppermint on clothing or added to your diffuser can help to improve concentration and alertness when focus is needed. 10. Soothe an itch. Cooling peppermint and calming lavender combine again to ease bug bites, sunburns, and even hemorrhoids. Just be sure to dilute. As a reminder, a 2% dilution is the standard, safe formulation for adults. However, I have found that using upwards of 10% can help for those really itchy spots. 11. Block mosquitoes. Peppermint oil has been found to repel mosquitoes that harbor malaria and filarial and yellow fever for up to 3 hours after application. Tisserand and Young's Peppermint Safety Summary. Hazards, choleretic, stimulates bile production, mucous membrane irritation, and neurotoxicity risk, low. Contraindications, cardiac fibrillation and G6PD deficiency, do not apply near the face of infants. Cautions, acid reflux, GERD. Maximum adult daily oral dose, 152 milligrams, about 5 drops. Maximum dermal use, 5.4%. Dr. Z's safety note. You'll find many online resources saying that children shouldn't come into contact with peppermint because of potential breathing problems. Tisserand says that peppermint is best avoided altogether with children under 3. For children age 3 to 6, diffusion and 0.5% topical applications are safe. In my opinion, based on the lack of clinical research and on my personal experience raising 4 children and helping thousands of people across the globe use essential oils to reach their family's health goals, these recommendations are a little extreme. If you're diffusing a blend that includes peppermint in a well-ventilated room, your children should be just fine. Just don't put the diffuser next to the crib and discontinue use immediately if you notice any adverse reactions. Regarding topical applications for kids, Mama Z and I have used highly diluted, 1% or less, peppermint on our children as young as 1 year old for fevers. Of course, discretion is advised, and if you have any concerns, don't use it. Always have safety in mind when using oils with your children, and discontinue use and contact your pediatrician immediately if any adverse reactions occur. 3. Eucalyptus. Eucalyptus globulus and radiata. Used copiously by Australian Aborigines for most maladies in their villages, eucalyptus is a potent antibacterial, antispasmodic, and antiviral agent. Like clove essential oil, eucalyptus has a profound effect on staph infections. Quite amazingly, recent research from VIT University in India showed real-time that when Staphylococcus aureus came into contact with eucalyptus oil, the deadly bacteria completely lost viability within just 15 minutes of interaction. Two of the most common varieties that you'll find on the market are Eucalyptus globulus and Eucalyptus radiata. The difference comes down to a slight distinction between therapeutic benefits and aroma, with E. globulus being the stronger of the two on both accounts. Still, E. radiata is exceptionally healing, and many users new to essential oils prefer it because of its softer and sweeter smell. Here are 7 amazing uses for eucalyptus oil. 1. Expectorant and purifier. When you've got a cold or the flu, you might feel like your head will explode if you can't expel mucus. Eucalyptus works as an expectorant to ease that discomfort. And, as a bonus, it can help your body to remove toxins and germs that make you feel worse. Try putting a few drops of eucalyptus essential oil into a diffuser while you sleep to help clear your breathing so you can rest. Or, for a more powerful application, put 5 drops into a bowl filled with hot water, then lean over with a towel tented around your head. Breathe deeply for a few minutes and enjoy the relief. 2. Scalp tonic. Cleanse and refresh your scalp and hair with a few drops of eucalyptus mixed into coconut or olive oil. The carriers will moisturize while the eucalyptus relieves itchy skin and dandruff. 3. Hand and foot cleanser. Grease can't stand a chance against eucalyptus, making a strong case for its inclusion in homemade cleansers, or, if you're up for a real treat, a refreshing salt soak for hands or feet. 4. Potent cleaning agent. If you enjoy the fragrance of eucalyptus, you may already be including it in your cleaning recipes. It is also highly antimicrobial, helping to clear surfaces of potential germs. If you're making a cleaner of any sort, you need to add eucalyptus. 5. Stain removal. If you have stained fabric surfaces, give eucalyptus essential oil a try. Apply a few drops on a clean white washcloth and rub out the stain. First, make sure, in an inconspicuous spot, that it's compatible with your fabric, just in case it reacts poorly to the eucalyptus oil. 6. Air freshener. Refresh the mind and lift the spirits by making a quick spritzer. Combine 10 drops of eucalyptus oil, 10 drops witch hazel, and 10 drops organic grain alcohol, 190 proof, in a 1-ounce spritzer bottle, then fill with distilled water. Even after a long day at work, this one is easy. Simply spray throughout the room and enjoy. 7. Odor control. After a long day of summer play, the laundry room can become quite noxious. After washing stinky clothes, throw them in the dryer with a wet rag that you've sprinkled with a few drops of eucalyptus essential oil. To remove odors from shoes, stick a rag with a few drops of eucalyptus into each shoe before setting them in a sunny spot to dry out. This helps prevent odors and keep the shape of the shoe intact. Tisserand and Young's Eucalyptus Safety Summary. Hazards. Essential oils rich in 1,8-cineol can cause central nervous system and breathing problems in young children. Contraindications. Do not apply near the face of infants or children under 10. Maximum adult daily oral dose, 600 milligrams, about 20 drops. Maximum dermal use, 20%. Dr. Z's safety note. You'll find many online resources saying that children shouldn't come into contact with eucalyptus. Tisserand says that eucalyptus can be diffused or applied topically up to 0.5% on children under 3 years old. For children aged 3 to 6, eucalyptus is safe to diffuse and apply topically up to 1%. The key here is to avoid the face, as his safety summary indicates. I have listed how to calculate dilutions in Chapter 2. As with peppermint essential oils, Mama Z and I have used eucalyptus with our children within these parameters without any problem. As always, discontinue use and contact your pediatrician immediately if any adverse reactions occur. 4. Lemon. Citrus limon. Various citrus essential oils are widely used to stimulate lymph drainage, rejuvenate sluggish, dull skin, and repel bugs. Lemon oil stands out, however, as research has recently discovered that it carries useful antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory properties, and is even being praised for its ability to combat foodborne pathogens. Lemon oil's cancer-fighting antioxidant power is impressive. Nearly 700 studies have examined lemon essential oil, exploring dozens of traditional uses. Its most prominent component, D-limonene, is likely the key to its potency. Lemon essential oil also has an incredible uplifting scent that makes an ideal addition to any cleaning product preparations. Here are 6 ways to use it in your cleaning supplies. 1. Disinfectant. Bleach is harsh, especially when little hands and lungs are around. Instead, add 20 drops of lemon oil to a mixture of 8 ounces distilled water, 8 ounces white vinegar, and 2 ounces organic grain alcohol, 190 proof. Use it to clean moldy showers and germy countertops. 2. Laundry freshener. We've all forgotten to switch wet laundry to the dryer at least once. Just add a few drops of lemon oil in a rinse to remove that awful odor. 3. Gooby gone. Sticker books are a parent's nemesis when the stickers find a home on windows and furniture. Remove stickers, gum, and other gooey remnants with the help of lemon essential oil. 4. Greasy hand solution. Soap doesn't always cut it, particularly after you've been working on your car or bike. But with a couple drops of lemon essential oil added to your soap, the grime washes right off. 5. Leather treatment. A dab of lemon oil on a cloth will restore leather furniture, shoes, and clothing to their original shine. 6. Silver polish. Use the same treatment on tarnished silverware and jewelry to bring back the shine. Tisserand and Young's Lemon Expressed Safety Summary. Hazards. Risk low of skin sensitization if oxidized. Contraindications. Dermal. Potentially phototoxic. Do not expose skin to sun or sunbed for 12 hours after topical application. Cautions. Avoid old oxidized oils. Maximal dermal use, 2%. Dr. Z's safety note. Take care to properly dilute lemon when consuming it in your water or using a solubizer. When I was an essential oil newbie, I dropped lemon essential oil directly into my water and developed acid reflux. Once I discontinued use temporarily, I was fine, and my heartburn quickly went away. 5. Frankincense. Boswellia, Carteri, Frariana, Sacra, and Serrata. Even though the chemistry differs among the four primary species of frankincense that you'll find on the market, Boswellia, Carteri, Frariana, Sacra, and Serrata, many aromatherapists agree that their therapeutic effect is largely the same. For the most part, unless there is conclusive research to suggest otherwise, the species that you include in your favorite DIY recipes is up to preference. Personally, I like to use a blend of all four. Known as the king of essential oils, frankincense is finally getting the attention it deserves as one of the most viable healing agents on the planet. It is a powerful anti-inflammatory agent, painkiller, and immune booster, and has been shown to kill cancer cells in vitro, which is a fancy way of saying cells in a petri dish and not in a living person or animal. The journal Oncology Letters published an article in 2014 that highlights the ability of this biblical tree to kill cancer cells, specifically the MCF7 and HS1 cell lines, which cause breast and other tumors. Studies continue to emerge, demonstrating similar effects on bladder and skin cancers. Before you start picking up frankincense by the kilo, keep in mind that this study, like most of the others out there discussing how essential oils can kill cancer, is in vitro. Promising as they may be, let's put first things first and recognize that these cells in a petri dish evaluations can prove only so much. That said, I personally know numerous people who have used essential oils, including frankincense, to treat cancer with great results. Frankincense essential oil has also been used with much success to treat issues related to digestion, the immune system, oral health, respiratory concerns, and stress and anxiety. Tisserand and Young's Frankincense Safety Summary. Hazards: skin sensitization if oxidized. Cautions: avoid old oxidized oils. Dr. Z's safety note. Don't fall into the trap of dousing yourself with frankincense and putting several drops in your mouth to prevent or kill cancer. I see way too much of this online. Yes, it's safe to use with minimal restrictions, but it's still a highly concentrated plant compound. Using common sense and following the safety recommendations outlined in Chapter 2 will serve you well. 6. Rosemary. Rosmarinus officinalis. Used for centuries to improve everything from memory and brain function to common aches and pains, rosemary even has a history of stimulating hair growth. But one amazing healing effect that many people are unaware of is its ability to normalize blood pressure. In one of the few human studies evaluating this phenomenon, researchers from the Universidad Complutense de Madrid took 32 hypotensive patients and measured how their dangerously low blood pressure fared under rosemary essential oil treatments for 72 weeks. In addition to observing that rosemary could raise blood pressure to normal levels in a majority of the volunteers, the researchers discovered that overall mental and physical quality of life was drastically improved, which highlights the far-reaching healing effects that this ancient oil has on health and wellness. Another important fact about rosemary is that it can possibly attenuate cancer growth. Although we only have in vitro studies, again, studies conducted on living cells in a petri dish, researchers suggest that rosemary essential oil can help prevent and treat a variety of cancer cell lines. Of the 30 compounds in the essential oil, there are a few main players: alpha-pinene, borneol, camphene, camphor, verbenone, and borneol acetate. The study suggesting this was published in the journal Molecules after evaluating in vitro antibacterial activities and toxicology properties of R. officinalis essential oil compared to alpha-pinene, beta-pinene, and 1-8-cineol. According to the study, R. officinalis essential oil exhibited the strongest toxicity toward three different types of human cancer cells. Tisserand and Young's Rosemary Safety Summary. hazards, neurotoxicity, depending on camphor levels. Contraindications. For the 1,8-cineol chemotype, essential oils rich in 1,8-cineol can cause central nervous system and breathing problems if applied on or near the face. Do not apply near the face of infants or children under 10. Maximal adult daily oral dose. Camphor, CT, 513 milligrams. Alpha-pinene, CT, 676 milligrams. And verbenone, CT, 192 milligrams. Maximal dermal use. Camphor, CT, 16.5%. Alpha-pinene, CT, 22%. And verbenone, CT, 6.5%. Dr. Z's safety note. Rosemary is similar to eucalyptus because of the 1,8-cineol content. You'll find some online resources saying that children shouldn't come into contact with rosemary. The key here is to avoid the face, as the previous safety summary indicates. I have listed how to calculate dilutions in Chapter 2. As with peppermint and eucalyptus essential oils, Mama Z and I have safely used rosemary with our children within these parameters. However, discontinue use and contact your pediatrician immediately if any adverse reactions occur. 7. Tea tree. Melaleuca alternifolia. Tea tree is a wound healer with a rich history of use as a local antiseptic for burns and cuts, as well as treatment for a wide spectrum of bacterial and fungal infections, including athlete's foot and jock itch. Other conditions that respond well to tea tree include acne, chickenpox, cold sores, congestion and respiratory tract infections, earaches, fungal infections, halitosis, head lice, psoriasis, dry cuticles, insect bites, sores and sunburns, boils from staph infections. I cover how to use tea tree to treat fungal infections in detail in Chapter 15 when I discuss Candida overgrowth. Tisserand and Young's Tea Tree Safety Summary. Hazards. Skin sensitization risk. Low. Cautions. Dermal. Avoid old oxidized oils. Maximal dermal use, 15%. Dr. Z's Safety Note. Because of its antimicrobial properties, people use tea tree frequently for a variety of infections. I know a man who, not knowing any better, literally put a drop of tea tree in his eye after coming down with conjunctivitis. I'm not kidding. He went to Dr. Google and found out that tea tree could help. Not reading far enough to learn that the proper application is to dab diluted tea tree around the socket, he put a drop directly onto his eyeball. Thankfully, he had the sense to wash his eye with coconut oil when the burning ensued. Please, be safe. Not to sound like a broken record, but using common sense and following the safety recommendations in Chapter 2 will serve you well. 8. Ylang Ylang. Kananga Odorata. If frankincense is the king of essential oils, Ylang Ylang is the queen. From diabetes to hypertension to anxiety to fill in the blank, Ylang Ylang can cover it all. It is exceptionally adept at combating depression, free radicals, inflammation, bacteria and fungi, insects, and excess melanin, which can cause skin disorders, anti-melanogenesis. Interestingly, Ylang Ylang has the uncanny ability to be a harmonizer. According to one study that tested how 24 healthy adults responded to Ylang Ylang aromatherapy, it caused a significant decrease in blood pressure and pulse rate, as well as a significant increase in attentiveness and alertness. This is profound because, by definition, pulse rate and blood pressure increase when someone's fight or flight response kicks in, causing them to become alert and ultra attentive. In this case, however, Ylang Ylang increased attentiveness and alertness without the fight-or-flight trigger, debunking the myth that it's a calming oil. It is a whatever-you-need kind of oil and can help the body meet the needs that it's facing. Ylang Ylang is the perfect example of how essential oils can balance conflicting psychological actions and truly harmonize the body. Tisserand and Young's Ylang Ylang Safety Summary. Hazards. Skin sensitization risk, moderate. Contraindications, dermal. Damaged, diseased, or hypersensitive skin and children under 2 years. Maximal dermal use, 0.8%. Dr. Z's safety note. Consuming high doses of ethanolic extracted ylang-ylang root bark has been shown to have spermatotoxic effects. As a result, researchers are investigating whether it can be a viable natural contraceptive. The particular study in question tested 1 gram of ylang-ylang per kilogram of body weight per day on male rats for 60 days, which is about 2.5 ounces. The likelihood of your consuming this much or even applying the topical equivalent is slim to none. However, as ylang-ylang is a common oil in women's blends and libido-boosting solutions, if you're trying to have a baby, you probably don't want to use a massage oil containing ylang-ylang oil as a lubricant. So, what do you think? Feel empowered to start tackling these 8 highly versatile, power-packed essential oils? Knowing which oils to use for specific health conditions takes practice, but trust me, it'll be worth it. 4. Quick Start Guide to Using Essential Oils to Change Your Life. The greatest medicine of all is to teach people not to need it. Hippocrates. During the first essential oils class that I taught, a woman in the audience interrupted me when I started to cover certain blends and oils known to help with mood disorders. I could see her in the back of the small audience, eyes all lit up with excitement, as she blurted out, "Those oils helped me get off my anxiety meds 5 years ago. She went on to talk about how nothing else had worked and how she'd been beside herself, not knowing what to do. Still, she took the drugs her doctor prescribed because she felt they were her only hope. And then she met essential oils. It was wonderful to hear her tell us that essential oils helped her to live again. What impressed me most was not that she found a natural solution to her problem, but that as a regular oil user for more than 5 years, she was still going to beginning 101 classes to learn all she could about how to use essential oils to enhance her life. She was a living example that there is always more to learn, and that no matter how much you think you know, you can always be a student and deepen your understanding. How hungry are you for change? I hope you come to realize, if you haven't already, that you aren't at the mercy of your doctor, pharmacist, liquor store owner, or cigarette manufacturer. You have control over your own health, and best of all, taking control doesn't have to be hard work. I'm guessing you've probably heard that essential oils are great for making your own non-toxic cleaning products and all-natural alternatives to air fresheners. While these are common and beneficial uses for essential oils, who wouldn't want to reduce their exposure to toxic chemicals and save money while doing it, most people aren't aware of how much power essential oils have to improve their health and well-being. Essential oils are incredible healers. Some people, including that woman I met at my first class, consider them superheroes. Picture a little dark bottle with a cape flying in the air on its way to save a city under attack by aliens. Okay, that may be a bit of a stretch, but that's how the millions of folks who have been able to come off their anxiety meds, blood pressure pills, and harsh anti-inflammatories regard essential oils. Essential oils can help you sleep better, relieve your pain, heal your digestion, support you in losing weight, and help you feel vibrant enough to pursue abundant and radiant health in all areas of your life. Maybe that superhero image isn't too much of an exaggeration after all. The blessing and the curse of essential oils is that there are innumerable applications of these little superheroes, and you could spend a lifetime learning all of the ins and outs. The depth of information and range of possibilities can be overwhelming, so I want to give you some quick and easy-to-understand instruction targeted at creating big changes in your health. While I hope you become a lifelong student of essential oils, I also know that your commitment will grow if you experience some of their transformative powers in your own life. To that end, I want to share with you the 7 steps that I have found to be the most effective ways to start experiencing their many benefits right away. Start by choosing just one of these areas to focus on. Then, move on to the next once you've noticed a positive shift. After you make improvements in these foundational areas, you can go on to troubleshoot your specific symptoms and conditions with the information provided in the later chapters of this audiobook. I think you'll be delighted at how just a few oils and techniques can have such a noticeable impact on your overall well-being. And I trust that you'll want to keep deepening your